Good morning. My name is Matt, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to Grupo Lalade's second quarter 2018 results conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode to prevent any background noise. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. I'd like to turn the conference call over to your host, Mariana Rojo, Grupo Lalade's Head of Investor Relations, Treasury, and Risk Management. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for joining our call today. This is Mariana Rojo. Yesterday, we issued our earnings press release after market close. It can be downloaded from the investor section of Grupo Lala's website, www.lala.com.mx. This review is being made available via webcast, accessible on Lala's website. For those of you listening via telephone who also wish to view the slide presentation, please click on the Listen by Phone button tab underneath the player window. For anyone who was unable to connect to this presentation, there will be a replay service once this live session is finished. Access will be available on Lala's webpage, or the information can be found in our press release document. Before we get started, I would like to remind you that this conference includes forward-looking statements, which are subject to future events and uncertainties that could cause our actual results to differ materially from these statements. All forward-looking statements should be considered in conjunction with the cautionary statements in our earnings press release and the risk factors included in our filings with the Mexican Stock Exchange. On our call today is Scott Rank, Grupo Lala's CEO, and Alberto Arellano, Grupo Lala's CFO. Thank you again, and Scott, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mariana. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining our call today. The second quarter was a very difficult quarter for Lala, with below-standard performance in Mexico, combining with challenges in Nicaragua and Brazil, resulting in a disappointing quarter for our team and our shareholders. We will briefly cover our progress on annual strategic priorities, and then we will spend time reviewing the quarter results and answering your questions about the business. I will now return the call to Mariana. Mariana, please go ahead.
We will start on slide 3. You may recall that we announced 4 strategic priorities for 2018. The first is margin expansion in Brazil. Second, leverage prior investments in Mexico and Central America. Third, reconfiguration of the U.S. business for profitable growth. And last, deleverage the company to less than 2.5 times net debt to EBITDA. Please turn to slide 4. First, I would like to share that EBITDA margin in Brazil continues in line with our expectations. Following a successful start of year, May's results were impacted by the nationwide trucking strike, which affected supply chains across the country during the last 2 weeks of the month, resulting in a loss of 1/3 of monthly sales and affecting 8 days of production. During the first week of June, we successfully replenished the market with our products, thanks to a rapid response by our plants, logistics, and sales force, thereby partially offsetting impact of lost sales. As you can see in the slide, the Q2 EBITDA margin in May was a negative 11.6% due to the trucking strike, while June EBITDA was a positive 10.3%. The overall impact of this one-off event was negative in the quarter. Please turn to slide 5. In the past 2 years, we invested more than 5.4 billion pesos in CapEx in Mexico. These projects include a pasteurized milk plant in Sonora and a cold cuts plant in Hidalgo, and the expansion of capacity for Lala 100. As a result of these investments, we were able to grow double digits in sales in Lala 100, cold cuts, and fresh milk, specifically in the state of Sonora. Current production capacity in Mexico provides ample room for future growth. Please go to slide 6. Starting in April, Central America faced political challenges in Nicaragua that significantly impacted sales and our operations in general. As a consequence of this, in the second quarter, we restructured our operations in Nicaragua, incurring in some extra expenses. We also had collateral effects in Guatemala and Costa Rica due to the products exported from Nicaragua for these two countries. Today, Nicaragua accounts for 3% of Grupo Lala sales. Please move to slide 7. As you may recall, in 2017, we announced the construction of two multi-category facilities in Guatemala and Costa Rica, both expected to be up and running during the second semester of this year. These new plants will allow us to reduce our dependence on Nicaragua for production in Central America, and will also support our Guatemala and Costa Rica near-term growth in the region. Turning to slide 8, as you might recall, drinkable yogurt represents 72% of our net sales in the U.S. Today, drinkable yogurt is a profitable business that continues gaining market share. The Promised Land specialty milk business, where we currently lose money, continues to grow and gain market share while improving gross margin. To reconfigure the business to drive profitable growth, we closed the Floresville, Texas plant last quarter and recently signed a co-packing agreement in the East Coast to enable us to reduce distribution costs and continue expanding our distribution in the region. We are also analyzing other alternatives for the business and will provide you with updates in the upcoming months. Turning to slide 9, we successfully finished the refinancing of the bridge loan, acquired in October 2017 for the acquisition of Vigor. We also reduced our total debt from 30.9 billion pesos in the fourth quarter of 2017 to 27.7 billion pesos in the second quarter of this year. Of the total debt, 89% is denominated in Mexican pesos and 11% in Brazilian reais. This refinancing has been made through a combination of local bonds de bures at 3, 5, and 10 years, two bilateral loan agreements, and a syndicated loan, resulting in an average tenor of 4.7 years. By the end of the quarter, the net debt ended at 25.2 billion pesos, with a leverage ratio of 3 times EBITDA, above the 2.7 times multiple presented last quarter. Improving our operating margins in Mexico and accelerating margin expansion in Brazil will be necessary to meet our objective of 2.5 times net debt to EBITDA by year end. I will now turn the call to Alberto. Thank you again for joining us, and Alberto, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mariana. Good morning, everyone. Please move to slide 11. As shown on the slide, during the second quarter of this year, Lala reported net sales of 18.9 billion pesos, a 26.1% year-on-year increase. A combination of organic growth and the consolidation of the operations in Brazil. Meanwhile, in comparable figures, Lala increased its sales by 5.1% to reach 15.7 billion pesos. This growth reflects an expansion in volume, an improved mix, and a favorable calendar effect. Please move to slide 12. Looking at figures by geography, Mexico and Central America continue in line with trends of the recent quarters. Net sales increased 5.2% to finish in 14.9 billion pesos, driven by milk formula and ice cream categories. U.S. reported net sales of 856 million pesos, a 5% increase, mainly explained by good performance in Promised Land specialty milk and a positive exchange rate impact. Brazil reported net sales of 3.1 billion pesos, somewhat below our expectations due to the impact of the trucker strike in May. In Brazil, we had a strong performance in yogurt and cheese, especially in cream cheese and requeijão, where our market share continues to expand. Please move to slide 13. Reported EBITDA in the second quarter closed at 1.9 billion pesos, a decrease of 10.7% and 410 basis points of margin contraction versus the same period last year. Comparable EBITDA results show a contraction of 17.6% versus the second quarter of 2017, finishing at 1.7 billion pesos. This result is mainly explained by: one, manufacturing and distribution expenses increased in Mexico, as well as losses in Central America from the situation in Nicaragua described earlier. Two, lower margins in the Brazilian business behind the nationwide trucking strike. And three, a high comparable base from last year. Let's see what happened in Mexico and Central America in more detail on the next slide. The second quarter was challenging for Grupo Lala, given the EBITDA margin contraction in Mexico and Central America, which fell from 15% last year to 11.8% this quarter. The reduction of 320 basis points of margin is explained by: one, double-digit increase in our manufacturing and distribution expenses, pressured significantly by higher costs in fuel and energy, and two, Central America impacted by the political situation in Nicaragua, where our operations continue to be affected. We have incurred in one-off restructuring expenses in Nicaragua to right-size our business for the current environment. Turning to slide 15. We show reported EBITDA by region. As shown on the previous slide, in Mexico and Central America, EBITDA reached 1.8 billion pesos, a 16.8% contraction compared to the second quarter of last year. The U.S. business continues with negative EBITDA, losing 41 million pesos in the quarter, showing a modest progression in margins compared to the previous three quarters. We continue with our plans to meet break-even EBITDA by the end of the year. In Brazil, we closed the quarter with an EBITDA of 144 million pesos, which represents 4.6% of sales. As mentioned before, this result was impacted by the truck strike in May, where operations stopped during the last 2 weeks of the month. Some of these losses were recovered in June due to strong initiatives to replenish the market. These results also include 15.7 million pesos expenses related to the Vigor integration. Please turn to slide 16. Gross profit stands at 6.6 billion or 35% of sales, explained by integration of the Brazilian business at lower margins, together with a margin contraction in the balance of the business. On a comparable basis, gross profit slightly decreased by 1.3% versus last year, a consequence of raw materials, fuel, and energy inflation. Reported operating income stands at 1.3 billion pesos, a decrease of 19.8%, while the comparable operating income declined 24.8% versus the second quarter of last year. This reflects mainly the increase in manufacturing and distribution expenses in Mexico and Central America. As described in previous slides, reported EBITDA decreased by 10.7%, ending in 1.9 billion pesos, while the comparable EBITDA reduced by 17.6%, finishing in 1.7 billion pesos. Please move to slide 17. During this period, the company recorded financial expenses of 597 million pesos, reflecting the interest paid related to the acquisition of Vigor last year. As shown in our results, taxes for the period were 314 million pesos, and the effective tax rate of the company increased by 13 percentage points due to the inflationary adjustment of the outstanding debt. Projects continue in place to optimize our tax structure in the four regions. Reported net income was 400 million pesos, a 65.1% decline versus last year, significantly impacted by higher financial expenses. Please move to slide 18. We would like to conclude the call by highlighting some of the most important events of the quarter. First, we faced a nationwide truck strike in Brazil that resulted in a negative impact in May, partially recovered in June. Despite of that, we continue expecting a positive performance in Brazil in the second half of the year. In the U.S., we continue to structurally fix the business, progressively moving to our break-even target by the end of the year. In Mexico, as mentioned previously, we had higher expenses, mainly in manufacturing and distribution. We have implemented productivity projects aimed at reducing this expense. Central America was impacted by Nicaragua's political situation, which negatively affected the results of the region. Going forward, given the resizing of the business in Nicaragua, we should be able to mitigate the impact while the situation is resolved. Finally, we have successfully refinanced 100% of our debt via bank loans and local bonds, resulting in an average tenor of 4.7 years. We are disappointed with the results reported in this quarter. That said, we're confident that our business fundamentals continue to be strong and that we have the components needed to sustain profitable growth. Thank you for your time, and with that, I would like to turn the call over to the operator and open the line for a Q&A session. Operator, please go ahead.
Great, thank you. At this time, we will be conducting a question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to move your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we pull for questions. Our first question is from Lucas Apicia from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I was going to ask if you can expand a little bit more about the margin pressure that we saw in Mexico, also on the distribution side. Maybe if you can give us a little more context on that, as well as help us think about how we should model this going forward for the coming quarter, and you know what type of profitability we should expect for the rest of the year. If you have any additional comment on that, that would be my main question today. Thank you.
Sure, Luca. This is Scott. Thank you for your question. We have a very solid distribution network in Mexico, refrigerated distribution network in the country. It's evolving with significant improvements via technology in warehouse management, transportation management, and a couple of other. That said, we had a lot of pressure from higher fuel costs. Fuel costs increased between 12 and 13% quarter to quarter versus last year. And then we also had some errors in programming deliveries to large customers. And we incurred some extraordinary expenses in April and May. That issue was essentially resolved in June and looking forward. So, how you model this looking forward, there is some pressure due to fuel costs. We're putting focus on productivity in supply chain. A lot of the focus in productivity last year in the first semester of this year was in raw materials and sales expenses. We're very successful in those areas. But in supply chain and manufacturing, we have some opportunities, and so we're working on those opportunities. We've taken action so far, but there are more actions still to be taken. So modeling this forward, I expect some pressure, although not as much as you saw in the second quarter of this year.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you, Scott.
Our next question is from Isabella Samanato from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Scott, Mariana. Good afternoon, everyone. So just a follow-up on Lucas' question in margins in Mexico. Regarding pricing to try to offset those impacts, how you're looking for pricing strategy in the second half of the year to try to recover a little bit of the margin? And if you could spin off the impact from Nicaragua in the sales growth of this quarter in the Mexico and Central America region, how was the sales growth in Mexico particularly? And if you could also give us a color by category, it would be very helpful. Thank you.
Isabel, why don't you take the second question? I'll take the first one.
Sure. Yeah, Isabella, so I would say the crisis in Nicaragua or the political situation certainly affected the margin of Central America. More or less half of the basis point contraction that we presented is coming from, I would say, a pressured business. So we showed a negative margin contraction of 107 basis points. Half of that is really coming from I would say the slowdown in sales as well as the pressure in some of the distribution costs locally. But the other half were really also one-offs related to an important restructuring that we did in Nicaragua. Also some restructuring in other parts of Central America. Remember that we do have an important plant there, and that some of the product exported to Guatemala also had some affectation on that regard. This structurally is going to be fixed once we open the plant in Guatemala and also open our plant in Costa Rica. But for the time being, we're expecting that out of what we presented, these 107 basis points, half is going to probably continue there in terms of pressure while the situation lasts. So that's for your second question.
The first question, Isabella, regarding pricing in Mexico. In the first semester, we were cautious with price increases in the first semester. Our objective was to maintain market share, and so we were conservative on our price increases in the first half of the year. Looking forward, we will price according to the situation that we see in the market. We clearly have some increase in expenses that we have to consider as we make those pricing decisions. But we are going to be careful that we're pricing relative to market conditions, and that's what we're going to be focused on. Hope that answers your question.
It's clear. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Antonio Hernandez from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. You're mentioning you're expecting reaching break-even by year-end in the U.S. What are your expectations for next year? In terms of margins, do you think profitability will be just slightly above break-even? What do you expect overall? And my second question would be regarding the expense that you faced because of the integration of Vigor. Do you expect more of that in coming quarters? Thanks.
Antonio, this is Scott. Regarding Lala U.S., the next year and the next couple of years' results are going to depend on the final structure of the reconfiguration of the business. And the details of that we really won't know until October, November. Of this year, we have made progress on a couple of things. We closed a plant. We've just contracted some co-packing in the East Coast that's going to help us reduce distribution expenses. We're looking at some other options as well that are significant. And so I can't say right now what the numbers are going to look like, but we are looking at significant refiguration of the business that would have a major impact on the margins of that business as well. But we don't have right now the final configuration. And so I think once we have that, we can give you better guidance on Lala US. What is positive about the business there is we're seeing, good growth in the Promised Land specialty milk, gaining market share and with the improvements in gross margin. We're making some changes now, like that East Coast co-packing arrangement that'll start to help the EBITDA margins on that business. Lala branded drinkable yogurt continues to grow. It's gaining share, continues to increase profitability. We have good perspectives for next year on that business as well, based on what we're selling in to major customers right now for next year. So it's positive, but the guidance, I think we're going to give you better guidance towards the end of this year.
Antonio, and regarding your question on integration expenses in Brazil, first of all, let me just say that the integration process overall is going very smooth, very, very positive from the execution standpoint. and again, in line with what we were expecting there. The expenses of integration in Q2 were 15.7 million pesos, very, very much in line with what we had as well anticipated, and also what we have in Q1. Now, for the second semester of this year, the only, I would say, in integration process that is still pending is the assessment that we're doing with internal controls. We will still have some expenses in Q3 and Q4, more south of 10 million pesos for each quarter. And then we're expecting, obviously, to finish any further integration expenses for let's say, next year. So in order for you just to get a flavor of what we could still expect, it's around 10 million pesos south of that in Q3 and Q4.
And by the way, it's worth mentioning that we've fully integrated 100% of back office functions.
Mm-hmm.
We've fully integrated systems. We've fully integrated legal. And so we've made tremendous progress. And really, there's some strengthening of internal controls, which is really the major pending process. And that will incur some expenses at a lower rate than we've been seeing for the first two quarters of this year.
Okay, perfect. Thanks a lot. Our next question is from Felipe Ucros from Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everything, and thanks for the space for questions. I wanted to focus a little on Nicaragua. We've seen the impact on several retailers that also have operations in Central America, and we've realized that a lot of the companies that are operating in the region in the process of integrating the different countries that they operate in, they've had a lot of trouble getting product to flow through Nicaragua, and also obviously with production like you guys have had. Do you think you can give us a little more color on exactly how the distribution operation works and how Nicaragua is involved and what you've done to restructure it, and if there's anything else that we should be expecting for the coming quarters? Thank you.
Sure, Felipe, this is Scott. Well, first of all, Nicaragua, for retailers, you know, Nicaragua is not a major supply base. It's primarily a transportation issue of shipping across the country. In our case, there is some shipping issues, but the major issues, that was the primary point of production for Lala Central America. And it has been up until now. In 2017, we announced the plans to build a brand new multi-category plant in Guatemala and a second new plant in Costa Rica. The new plant in Guatemala will be online in about a couple of weeks now, and the one in Costa Rica in the fourth quarter of this year. So that investment is going to allow us to diversify the source of our production in Central America over the course of the second half of this year. So that's very significant and very fortunate that we had planned this. So, that's our situation. You'll see an improvement in Central America. As Beto mentioned, about 50% of the impact you saw was one-off for restructuring of the business principally in Nicaragua, to right size it for the situation in that market. But over the next few months, we're ramping up production in Guatemala and Costa Rica, which are the two countries where we're expecting most growth in the region over the next couple of years. So you know, the timing of those investments we're good, we're fortunate, and that's going to help us improve the margins over the next semester.
Okay, thanks, Scott. So just to make sure I get this clear, so next year we should definitely not see any more impact, but the next couple of quarters, while the plants are still initiating their operation, we should still see a little more impact, correct?
Yeah, I wouldn't say zero impact. We'll have to see how Nicaragua evolves. But be careful about saying there's absolutely no impact next year. But our expectation is that the impact will be resolved gradually over the coming 6 months as we ramp up production in Guatemala and Costa Rica.
Great. And just one last follow-up. In Mexico, with the COGS pressure that you're seeing, are you seeing any pressure from the raw material side of things, and what are you expecting going forward for the next couple of quarters on that side? Thank you.
No, frankly, little pressure on raw material costs. We've made tremendous progress in productivity in raw materials and sales expenses over the last 18 months. And we continue to invest in productivity in those two areas. So no, we don't see a lot of pressure on raw material costs this time.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question is from Luis Miranda from Santander Bank. Luis, go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking my question. Follow-up questions in Mexico. Alberto, I just wanted to double-touch. Could you give us some color out of these 148 basis points that you mentioned and Scott mentioned about distribution and some errors in deliveries, how much was related to higher cost of fuel specifically? And the other one is when you disclose the EBITDA margin in Brazil, the margin recovery in June, it's very important, very material. What do you think is the sustainable level? And I don't know if that June is contaminated by higher sales due to the restocking of some suppliers after the strike. Thank you.
Sí, hola Luis. Well, first of all, to your first question on the Mexican margin pressure, around about half of what we reported, half of the 148 basis points has to do with energy related increases, no, both at the distribution level, but also from our utilities at the plant, so pressuring in gas, gasoline, and diesel overall. Then the other part is really has to do more with the way we were programming our shipments across the month, and as Scott spoke about that recently, but we had an important deviation of our standard in April and May. You know, a lot of the shipments came really at the last week of the month, and then it's always more expensive to go and find available capacity there. But that part is relatively fixed. So as what to expect in this regard going forward is, yes, I think the gas, gasoline, and diesel pressure is here to stay. And again, what we're expecting to do is to drive productivity projects in the plant and in across our distribution network, as similar to what we did already in the cost of sales with, you know, the trucks going from 7,000 to 620 last year and so on. So that's for your first question. On the Brazilian margin, yes, in June, basically, the business unit did an incredible job to try to replenish what we had failed in terms of delivery in May. As we mentioned, the last 10 days of May, basically the country was paralyzed. We were not able to ship to our consumers and retailers, and we started June with an important front load of those stocks. And yes, given that in volume increase in June, we had, and I would say, an artificially good margin in June. As of what to expect, I think that as you saw in Q1, we are in the neighborhood of the 8%, 7.7 reported there. We had that in April again, 7.9%, without any, you know, any external factor. So assuming that we will get into those margin and progressively expand them, the 200 basis points we have been talking about is exactly what we believe is going to happen. From now to the next 24 months, this is what, you know, what we should be expecting.
Perfect. Gracias, Alberto. Thank you.
Yeah, sure, Luis. Thank you.
Our next question is from Miguel Totorlo from GBM. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Scott, Alberto, and Mariana. Thanks for the question. My first question is regarding Vigor. You just already mentioned what you see as sustainable margin in the in 2 or 3 years, but I just would like to have some sensibility if and to what extent your expectations for full 2018 results have changed after results of this quarter, both in terms of sales and EBITDA. And also a second, if you could give us some color on how the cold cut segment is performing in Mexico. Thank you.
Yes, Miguel. So in the case of Brazil, obviously the situation in May is something that we are not necessarily expecting to, you know, to be able to offset for the balance of the year. If you extract the month of May, we are completely in within our plan. The second semester is profiling to be one where both sales and margin should continue to be expanding. We are gaining market share in the important categories in Brazil. Again, our expectation for the full year in Brazil, it's positive. I would say excluding those 10 days of lost sales that in our categories is, you know, somewhere difficult to catch up, because it's fresh product at the end of the day. So something that is not consumed 1 week is not going to be consumed next week, very likely. But again, for the full year, I would stay with the guidance that we have shared with you up to now.
And Miguel, regarding cold cuts in Mexico, you may have seen there on the webcast, it's growing 31% year to date. Our expectation is to gradually accelerate the rate of growth over the second semester of this year.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you very much.
Our next question is from Alvaro Garcia from BTG Pactual. Please go ahead.
Hi, Scott, Alberto, Mariana. Thanks for the call. A couple of housekeeping questions on my end. We saw an 147 million peso inflow in other income. What was the nature of that chart, of that inflow?
Yes, Alvaro. In Mexico, as you might know, there are a couple of benefits that the government provides to the distribution companies or manufacturing companies that utilize diesel. It's a tax break that is called the YEP, and this is something that we tune out to be able to reflect as of last year. So last year we had a benefit of 2017. And this year we are having the benefit of 2018. Now, given that the documentation and the regulation for us to be able to take that benefit also for 2016 was there, but the benefit had not been taken, we did a due diligence in June to be able to benefit from that tax break. So it's really, I would say it's a non-recurring benefit coming from 2016. But I think the good news here is that as of last year, we're really going and finding opportunities around optimization of our tax structure, and this is one example of that.
No, certainly. No, so it is non-recurring in nature, though.
Yes, it's okay. This one specifically is non-recurring because it comes from 2016, but we are already profiting from the tax break in 2018 coming from the YEPS for diesel.
And then another question on financial expenses. I realized or sort of deduced that the interest rate as per this quarter was quite high. It yielded sort of 10% versus, let's say, an 8.5 to 9 that you're yielding prior. Is there any sort of one-off in the interest expense, particularly this quarter, or is that a solid run rate given where rates are today in the different markets where you have your debt? Is this 10% a solid run rate going forward?
Listen, we didn't have any variation on the financial expenses. The only variation we had versus Q1 was the fact that now we have a full quarter with the revised or renegotiated debt profile. So we have already the interest coming from the Cebures, from the syndicated loan and the bilateral. Still, during the last quarter, we had some of our debt coming from the bridge loan, and therefore the interest rate was somewhere different. But that's really the only difference on that.
Great. Okay, perfect. And then just one last one on Brazil. If you could maybe expand on, let's say, a year-over-year run rate in sales in Brazil. I mean, looking at the numbers, it seems almost that you almost grew sales year over year in BRL terms. Maybe you can expand on that a bit. Thank you.
Yes. Alvaro, just to follow up on what you asked, you were mentioning a 10% rate that our compound interest rate or financing cost is basically 70 basis points ahead of CIE here in Mexico, and in in Brazil it's 50 basis points ahead of CDI, which is a compound 8.8% financing cost. But just to clarify that one.
Yeah, so it might be just, let's say, some of the arithmetic on this quarter per se. So we'll use that, let's say, 9 going forward, assuming rates stay where they are. Great. And then just this last one on Brazil.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question on Brazil? Because we were talking about interest rates here while you...
Yeah, sorry. It was on the run rate, so the sort of year-over-year run rate you're seeing... On the sales front, looking at the numbers, it seemed that we almost saw an acceleration relative to last quarter. And last quarter, you mentioned on the call that there was a couple clients, or you had some one-off, let's say, sales impacts, and that you expect sales to sort of be flattish or slightly down in BRL terms, but it seems that they even grew. So if you could sort of give some color on that year-over-year growth in Brazil.
Yeah, we're not giving specific figures on year-to-year growth, but the sales are growing slightly in Brazil. When you discount one large institutional client that we do some private label work for in margarines and things like that. So so there's a very low margin piece of the business that when you include that, it sales are declining slightly. But when you take that out, sales are growing slightly, you know, low single digits. So we're kind of at the same rate of sales growth. If you know, it's difficult in this quarter trying to take out the effect of the trucking strike.
Yeah.
But if you look at what we were tracking in April, you know, the same rate of sales, which is low single digits, that we had in the first quarter, again, excluding the co-packing we do for one customer in margin.
Great, that's encouraging. Perfect. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for all the answers.
Our next question is from Antonio Gonzalez from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Scott, Beto, and Mariana. Just two quick ones on my side. First, on Nicaragua and the new facilities that you are planning on for Costa Rica and Guatemala. Scott, I remember that you had very positive expectations about the San Benito facility in Nicaragua once it was announced and so forth. So I just wanted to see if you can remind us was it the plan all along to get capacity out of Nicaragua anyways? And just, I don't know if you can share these details with us at this moment, but just to have an order of magnitude here, the installed capacity that you will have in the region, it will increase by how much once these two new projects are up and running? I just want to get an order of magnitude of how dependent was the region on Nicaragua specifically versus how much it will be after the two facilities. That's the first question. And then secondly, I understand that you're going through the process of figuring out how to reconfigure the U.S. or reshuffle the U.S. operations. But I want to ask specifically with respect to the second facility. So you shut down Texas and you migrated part of that to Nebraska, is it Colorado that you are where you are consolidating everything that was previously in Texas? What are the options that you are considering at the moment? Is it possible to just sort of give us a roadmap of are you considering shutting down that second facility as well and consolidating everything in just one of the three facilities that you originally had? Or is it too early to just give us sort of a sensitivity here of what are the possible outcomes that you are exploring for the second facility?
Hi, Antonio. Thank you for the question. In the case of Central America, the new facilities were designed for two purposes. The primary purpose was to support growth in the region and surrounding region. And the secondary reason was to diversify some of the risk of having so much of our production concentrated in Nicaragua. We've increased the capacity 50% in the region with the two new plants in Guatemala and in Costa Rica. So so that's kind of the situation in Central America. I hope that's clear. Regarding the U.S., you know, what we did is we closed a plant in Texas, and we consolidated, which was focused on specialty milk. We consolidated that production in the plant in Colorado. And then to get closer to a very fast-growing section of our consumer base on the East Coast, we signed a co-packing agreement to satisfy those customers along the eastern seaboard of the U.S. with specialty milk. That's going to help us reduce distribution costs because we're closer to those customers. And we're exploring other options to utilize some of the excess capacity we have in Colorado and culture, essentially. So that's kind of where we're at right now in the restructuring of the U.S.
Okay, that's good. Is it possible to mention, or I guess too early to give any definitive statements, would you consider shutting down the second facility and consolidate everything in just Nebraska, or too early to tell?
No, Nebraska's focused in Omaha facility is focused on yogurt, and then
okay.
We also have the specialty milk business and a sour cream business and culture business. So what we're really restructuring is everything related to specialty milks and the cream. Okay?
Thank you, Scott.
Okay, thank you, Anthony.
Our next question is from Rafael Shen from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Very, very quick question on my side. I was wondering if you can give us a little bit of color of what's happening with milk costs, both in Mexico and Brazil. Specifically, how do they look like year on year, and what's your outlook for the second half? Milk cost. Thank you.
Sure, Rafael. Milk cost in Brazil did a short-term spike in milk cost after the trucking strike. I think some producers were trying to recover losses and take advantage of the situation in a short-term basis. They're coming down now. Again, and they'll essentially be in line with our expectations for the second semester this year, slightly above last year, but nothing too significant. The regarding Mexico, you know, milk prices I think were in line with inflation of producer costs. The last significant increase we had was fourth quarter of last year. Those are in the base. Those are in the numbers that you're seeing today, and right now, you know, essentially, like I mentioned, pressure on raw material cost is under control and below sales growth. So raw materials, generally speaking, whether it's milk or cultures or fruit or packaging, generally speaking, is growing low single digits below sales at this point in time.
Okay, great. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, it is star one. Our next question is from Pablo Abraham from BBVA. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Thanks for the call. Just three questions. First, could you give us more details regarding the annual increase in yogurt sales in the U.S., if it's possible in U.S. denominated? Second, what could be a normalized EBITDA margin level in Brazil, excluding the strike? In the presentation, you mentioned that May was with a negative 11% margin, so it could be around 8%. And finally, regarding the distribution cost in Mexico, it could be recurrent this increase if it's only attributable to the gas price hike. Thanks.
Yes. Hi, Abraham. Well,
First of all, on drinks in the U.S., what I can tell you is what is public. It's the drinkable category in the U.S. continues to grow, and we are gaining market share in the U.S. So Lala drinks has been constantly and consistently gaining market share over the last couple of quarters. So that's what I can share with you on drinks. In terms of the normalized EBITDA margin in Brazil, well, I again, Q2 was you know, it started in April with a very similar pattern that of what we show in Q1. So in the neighborhood of 8% margin, and again, this is exactly what we were expecting in Q2. Progressively, we are expecting the margin to expand, as shared previously, in the neighborhood of 200 basis points over the next 24 months. We are on track to deliver that. And again, Q2 was more kind of a low light from the strike. On your third question, the distribution cost in Mexico, I think I already said that, but out of the, I would say the half of the impact in Mexico was really coming from energy prices. So gas, petrol and diesel increasing from 12 to 13%. Yes, we are expecting that to stay, and we're expecting that pressure to continue. And this is where we were talking about some of the, I would say, structural projects that we are going to be fostering in the second semester of the year, meaning further productivity in the plants as well as in our distribution network.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thank you. This concludes the question and answer session. I'd like to turn the floor back over to management for any closing comments.
We thank you for your time and interest in Grupo Lala. We hope you will join us again next quarter. Until then, we will be sure to provide you with important updates as developments unfold. Thank you again and goodbye.
This concludes today's teleconference. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.